7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode. And as always, I am here with Tim and Tom. Guys, how's it going?
Great.
I'm doing well. I'm looking up here the details on my phone of what we're going to be talking about in this episode, scrolling through a lot of whining and complaining from you over the last couple of days, Josh. So glad to get past all of that.
It's not it's not me whining at all. It's
Oh my God.
Me just pushing you.
If I had the world's smallest violin, I'd play it for you.
Helping you push you in your direction you needed to go into.
It's a good thing you don't you have different rags for your tears and your cum, because if not, you would have just a face full of cum right now.
Wow.
0 cents. But okay. Tom, you wanna let everybody know what we are talking about today?
I have no idea, Josh.
I really wish you would have spit that beer all over your computer. All right,
guys, you know, it's...
I mean, I'm like, all right. You know what? I probably should have reeled it back in. Started this episode off a little bit rough. And then Josh was like, all right, let's get past it. Tom, what are we talking about today? No fucking idea, Josh. Back to you. Like, really?
All right, so we're in that awkward time of the NFL year. You know, we get a little bye week before the Super Bowl. We got a little Senior Bowl stuff going on, but we're going to talk some fantasy football. We haven't talked much fantasy as of late, but we're going to get into our we're going to do a little first-round mock draft where we each get four selections, and we're going to see who we think will be in the first round in fantasy football next year.
All right, sounds good. And before we get to the first pick in our first round mock draft, Tim, you want to let everybody know what's going on with the jersey giveaway?
No, I don't, Josh. Guys, go on Facebook.com, look up Pony Keg Sports. You have 1 week left to win the signed Le'Veon Bell Steelers jersey. All you have to do, like Pony Keg Sports, the page, and share the post that is pinned at the top of the page. It's that simple. If you only like the post, you're not entered. If you only like the page, you're not entered. Like the page, share the post. Like the page, share the post. It's simple. It seems that there's a lot of stupid people out there that cannot really understand the premise of this giveaway. It's easy. So you got a whole week left. Do it. Tell your friends. Win the jersey. Be happy. And this is about to be rare memorabilia because he's not going to be a Steeler for long. So, win now.
And the draft order that Tom has made up goes Tim, pick one, myself, pick two, Tom, pick three, etc., repeating after that.
A lot of people have said, and I will quote a great philosopher named Nelly that once said, what does it take to be number one? And this week it just takes being named Tim Thompson.
Yeah, Tim got a little confused when I first gave out the draft order. He's like, man, I didn't know we knew that many Tom, Josh's, and Tim's.
That was Josh.
Oh, I thought Tim said that. My bad.
Yeah!
I really
take
thought
that, stupid Josh!
And then I virtually slapped Tim on my phone.
Even though it wasn't me.
Yeah, my bad.
See, he would have let that go if he knew it was Josh, but instead he just fisted him on air.
Oh my God. All right, let's get this started. We are doing PPR, of course, which is the ESPN standard. So, pick number one on the board. Tim, what is your pick?
I am not going to defend it. I am not going to do anything because I feel like these next couple of picks will, you know, warrant the defense and obviously the offense for who these other guys are going to be. But number one, it's simple coming out of the 2017 season. One, Todd Gurley, the Los Angeles Rams running back. Listen, he was dominant this year. He was the only dominant force this season. Like the guy that single-handedly carried fantasy football teams to the championship, winning championships. Todd Gurley was the Ezekiel Elliott of last year. Todd Gurley was everything that people said he would be coming out of college. And this was his year. And going into next year, with the injuries, with the potential team changes, with all the different factors in play, Todd Gurley is going to stay the same. He gets another year in the offense. He gets another year of confidence with one Jared Goff. He has that great defense behind him, so you know he's going to be able to, you know, get his attempts. He's going to be a 20 to 30 back carry back for the 2018 season. No brainer to me. They use him in the passing offense as well. Todd Gurley is my 2018 number one pick.
Yeah, pretty much any team that had Todd Gurley in the fantasy playoffs, they probably won. You got to look in PPR scoring. 27 points week 14, 49 week 15, 58 in week 16. So pretty much everyone that had Todd Gurley absolutely loves him right now. It doesn't matter what team you root for. If you had him in the playoffs, he is your favorite player. So it's a guarantee. I guarantee it. He'll be the number one overall player on ADP ranks next season.
All I can think is if you go back to last year, people talking shit to Todd Gurley in week 14, in week 15, saying you single-handedly cost me to see it. I mean, thousands of people. And he was responding. I don't care. I do what I do. Because that's, you know, Todd Gurley has that attitude. I love it. I love seeing that response. That's honestly why I think you saw, not that, you know, he was thinking about that, but you can't tell me that wasn't in the back of his head during those big weeks.
Yeah, I like the Todd Gurley pick there at number one. I mean, you got to look at it. He had a dominant season this year, was the leading scorer, 383.3 points overall, which is more than 40 points over number two, which is Mr. Le'Veon Bell. But with getting all those extra targets out of the backfield, that is where his true value comes into play with the true PPR aspect. So with that PPR aspect going down, Todd Gurley's value is going up. Should be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, unless they find some sort of a tight end that they use, you know, all the time, or Cooper Kupp takes a big step in 2018, Gurley's input in the passing game is only going to increase, in my opinion.
Number two, myself, I am going to go with running back Zeke Elliott, Dallas Cowboys. My big thing is with Zeke here, I think that the Cowboys are going to really go back to the run, really focus on the running game. Dez Bryant, he is, in my opinion, going to be, I don't want to say an afterthought, but he is going to have a more limited role. He's not the Dez Bryant that we have been accustomed to in previous seasons. And if you look at Elliott's numbers, he missed six games on the year. He still finished fantasy running back number 12. Overall, and if you look at his receptions compared to some of the other running backs, they are pretty decent numbers with missing six games. He's also getting a monstrous amount of carries, and I think that is just going to continue on with next year as well. And Zeke did have 26 catches on the year, which is pretty decent with missing the six games overall.
Yeah, Zeke, you gotta really be expecting him to get close to that 40 to 50 receptions per season, which will do wonders for him. He's going to be a touchdown machine. And last season, PPR, Josh, you brought up, finished 12th. He also averaged 20.3 points per game in PPR, which if he did that over the whole season, he would have been running back three, only behind Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell. He definitely deserves to get picked right here. He's going to be hungry. Short season last year. He's going to have tons of rest. Still has a fantastic offensive line in front of him. Zeke Elliott, love him this year right there.
The another funny stat that I was looking at was he had 242 carries on the year, and Todd Gurley had 279. So a little bit more than 30 less than Todd Gurley, and still missed the six games.
This pick, like all the picks, honestly, from this point outside of Gurley, and this is what all owners are going to be thinking of. If I'm number two, obviously I would love having Zeke, but it makes me a little bit nervous. The Cowboys don't have an identity right now on offense, in my opinion. They don't know. Dak is good, but obviously regressed after his, you know, he had the sophomore slump, if you would, even though it wasn't awful by any means, but he had the sophomore slump when Zeke was out in particular. Dez Bryant is so hot and cold. They're talking about, you know, he potentially is going to have to take a huge pay cut in order to even stay with the team. What's this offense going to look like? If you go into the 2018 season, with just Dak and Zeke. Are you still taking Zeke this high? The Cowboys are going to have to make a lot of moves. That offensive line is still fantastic. And Zeke, hands down, is one. I would feel more comfortable with Zeke in a old-school standard league than a PPR league, in all honesty.
The reason why I would feel comfortable with it is because we've seen that happen already this year with a quarterback that is not as good as Dak Prescott and maybe a running back that is maybe equally good or maybe not as good as Zeke Elliott, and that's with Blake Bortles and Leonard Fournette. And Fournette finished, I believe, ninth overall this year overall, and they don't have a passing game per se, a strong passing game, so, or that number one wide receiver like Dez Bryant.
And Fournette missed quite a few games as well.
Mm-hmm.
Third overall, I will be taking Mr. David Johnson from the Arizona Cardinals. He has played 33 games in his career, 3 years in the NFL, and he has scored 32 touchdowns. That is fantastic. That is what you want from your starting running back, and a guy picked that early to average close to a full touchdown per game. This also includes his rookie year where he was in a running back by committee. Also includes the first game of the year last year when he got injured against the Detroit Lions. But in the 2016 season, David Johnson was special. He had a better overall year than Todd Gurley did in 2017. So as good as we said Todd Gurley was, David Johnson has been better in his career. He missed 15 games last season due to a wrist injury. I'm not too worried about that. I don't think it's going to be a lingering issue. He should be 100% going into the season right now. This dude, 2016, 120 total targets. He is going to be the focal point of the Cardinals. They don't have a quarterback right now on that roster. So you know who the offense is going to be running through, and that is David Johnson. New hire coach Steve Wilks. He likes to play defense. He's a defense coordinator from Carolina, and that probably means that David Johnson is going to get tons and tons of carries and try to be close into football games, and I think he's my clear-cut number three player right now on the board.
I don't mind it. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I think this is all contingent on Larry Fitzgerald still being an Arizona Cardinal next year, in all honesty. If Larry Fitzgerald is not a Cardinal, there's no other threats. It's only David Johnson. And then you're talking new coach, new system, new quarterback, new wide receivers, David Johnson coming off of an injury. There's too much there. Not that he can't overcome it. Not that he can't have a great season. But there's a lot stacked against you where if I'm the number three pick in a PPR league and I'm thinking between like a David Johnson and an Antonio Brown, you know, it's going to be hard for me to go with a David Johnson. I feel like there's going to be a lot of mountains for David Johnson's stock to climb this offseason for him to be considered a top three pick.
Who's the quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals?
As I said, no quarterbacks.
Exactly. No one knows. With that being said, and we talked about it texting back and forth, they are going to run the ball and run the ball a lot. And what does a quarterback do when he needs to get rid of the ball and he can't throw the ball deep? Dump off passes to one David Johnson. So I can understand where you're coming from with him being picked number three. Me personally, I don't want to throw all my eggs in one basket right there, hoping that he's going to bounce back 100% from an injury. This is a total risk reward type pick here, and I commend anybody at pick number three here or four. Well, at four it would make a little bit more sense, but at number three over Le'Veon Bell, that would be a very risky but ballsy pick.
And don't get me wrong, I get that he has done amazing things in a small period of time, but this is still a small sample size. This is still he's played with a veteran quarterback who knows what to do his entire career. He's played with one of the smartest wide receivers to play the game ever his entire career. It's like I said, it's going to depend on what the Cardinals do this offseason. With the number four overall pick in our 2018 fantasy draft, gentlemen, I was iffy here. I didn't really know what to do, and then I thought, oh, wait a second. We haven't picked one of the best damn players in the NFL, regardless of what team he is on. Le'Veon Bell, this is PPR. Listen, Tom, you sent us in our group chat yesterday, what, the Steelers are like $1.2 million over the cap already.
Yep.
Right now, going into the 2018 free agency period, there's a lot of questions that they're going to have to answer there. We have all, I think, said adamantly, there is no way Le'Veon Bell is going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Number one, with all the drama that he caused going into the 2017 season after being franchise tagged. Number two, the amount of money that they'd have to pay him anyway to tag him again isn't even, they might as well just sign him to a new deal because of how much money they're going to have to pay him. This is Le'Veon Bell's premier contract, if you would. This is his crown and jewel. This is what he will live the rest of his life on, is what his agent is telling him. This is it right here. This is where you make your money. And that's going to outweigh his love for Pittsburgh. Obviously, the Raiders are showing a ton of interest, even though they have some cap stuff to deal with themselves. He's going to get paid. He's going to be the highest paid running back of all time, and he's going to have a monster contract. And rightfully so. This guy does it all. The Pittsburgh Steelers ran him into the ground, and he took it. He absolutely took it. Again, you know, there's risk involved there as well. But Le'Veon, if you are the fourth overall pick and you get Le'Veon Bell, you are dancing on a table. You are absolutely thrilled.
Yeah, with what Bell's been able to do the last two seasons, and pretty much his whole career, he had some injury issues in 2015, but the last two seasons, he's just been spectacular. The only thing I'm really starting to worry about Bell, we've seen him nicked up, banged up before, and those touches. He had over 400 touches this year, close to 430, I believe, which is a lot for a running back. And then, if he's about to get paid, we've seen it happen all the time, where star players get paid, and they really don't give a shit anymore. If he does get that monster contract, I will be a little worried, and that's the main reason that I picked David Johnson ahead of him in this draft.
Can I just make a random, crazy statement that I think should happen?
Yeah.
If I am the San Francisco 49ers, I'm letting Carlos Hyde run go. Letting him go. You have all that cap space already. You are signing Le'Veon Bell, and you are building your team around Jimmy G and Le'Veon Bell. It's a perfect scenario. They still have money to go and expand otherwise on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. It's the best case scenario. Bell is still young enough to build up Jimmy G and be around for a while. They could have another back, so you don't necessarily have to run Bell into the ground. I know the Raiders are the talk of the town right now, but you're talking about a 49ers team that are going to have what, Tom? Like $70 to $80 million?
Yeah, I think they're 105 right now.
So 100, I mean, that's crazy. They could front load the contract heavy, which is what Bell's going to want, sign them to a 3 to 4 year deal, which is probably with how much money they're going to offer them up front, is going to be there. They could still go after a bigger name wide receiver as well, continue to build that defense through the draft. This is a no-brainer if I am John Lynch. Do whatever you can. It's a big San Francisco, California. You're coming other side of the, you're coming out to Cali. You're rebuilding a franchise. We got the hot, biggest name quarterback, Jimmy G, coming to San Fran. We're signing this free agent. We're doing this in the draft. You are rebuilding one of the best franchises in NFL history. It's too easy. How can you not sell that? It's genius. Do it. And I'm a 49ers fan. Jimmy G and Le'Veon Bell, every game sold out. Easy.
I don't hate it.
You love it. Say you love it.
It's interesting.
Say you love it.
I still think that the 49ers may trade up in the draft to get Saquon Barkley. That's just me. So that's where I really feel like.
If they cannot give anything up, stay where they are in the draft, draft on the defensive side of the ball, sign Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be very interesting. But, Tom, to your point, I can see why you would take David Johnson over Le'Veon Bell. There are uncertainties with Le'Veon. One, we don't know if he's going to be in Pittsburgh. We don't know if he's going to be somewhere else. I think we will see him back in Pittsburgh with Big Ben saying that he will be back for 3 more years. So
slap it. Slap bet
Le'Veon
Bell.
Tim slap is bat, confident.
Le'Veon Bell will not be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
No, I'm not going to do a slap bet with you.
First time I've ever called a slap bet in the history of slap bet. All right. D9.
Next up, pick number, what is this, 5 now?
Five.
We have, it's me. I'm going to go with wide receiver, Mr. Tony Brown from the Steelers.
Fucking douche kid.
you don't like that?
Tony Brown. It's not like something I would say.
Mr. Antonio Brown, he finished as the number one wide receiver in PPR last year in fantasy, and he also missed the last two games of the season. Caught 101 balls, 1,533 yards, and the 9 touchdowns on the year. But the funny thing is, I was looking at the numbers for the most amount of catches. I was kind of shocked to see that he was only the number 5 wide receiver in total amount of catches. I thought he was going to be like number 1, number 2, number 3. Turned out it was number 5, so kind of shocking for that.
He fell off there at the end of the year. He was on pace to actually be the Triple Crown winner.
Yeah.
Up until week like 14, I want to say.
That's when he got hurt.
Yeah, that's when he got hurt, exactly. So, I mean, he was there. Listen, I am an Antonio Brown owner in our Dynasty League, so I can say this from the heart and from an outside perspective. I'm nervous. I love the guy to death. You saw what he did in the divisional round against the Jags. He single-handedly put the Steelers, you know, in a position to try to win that game. He was making plays where he was literally being yanked to the ground and still finding a way to make it happen. He will be my I'm not saying he's better than any of the best ever, like the Jerry Rices of the world. I'm not saying he's better than it, but he's that of this time.
Oh, 100%.
He is the Jerry Rice, Calvin Johnson of this time. The catches that he makes, the physicality that he brings, what he does for a team, absolutely unreal. Obviously, has benefited from having Lev Bell and Ben Roethlisberger and everything else, but absolute freak. You can't argue this pick at 5. Again, you get Antonio Brown at 5 overall in a PPR league, you're dancing on the table.
Yeah, Antonio Brown has been one of the most consistent fantasy players ever.
Fanny.
5 straight years of 100-plus catches. That's fantastic. That's exactly what you want from a wide receiver. That's 100 extra bonus points in PPR, and he's pretty much locked it in. Look, 14 games last year, and he still had 100 catches. Still led the league in receiving yards in 14 games. Absolutely crazy. And, Tim, I really think that Antonio Brown is our generation's of Jerry Rice.
Yep.
That's why I'm not worried about him. I still think he's got another 2 to 3 years of elite-level numbers. And look, we've seen Jerry Rice put up big time numbers. We've seen Terrell Owens put up big time numbers. I have no doubt that Antonio Brown's going to do the same thing.
So serious question for both of you. Say Pittsburgh decides, hey, you know what, our salary cap's crazy, and we paid AB already. Let's trade him. Or Big Ben retires. Antonio Brown goes to another team. Regardless of the team, not saying he ends up on the Patriots. Say he ends up on the Browns. Worst case scenario, whatever. Is Antonio Brown, no matter what, a first-round pick in a PPR league?
It's funny.
I'd say yeah. But
yeah, I would say yeah as well. Even if he went to the Browns, look at what Terrell Pryor did when he was there.
Okay.
I mean, it's the same thing. You could say it's the same with a lot of players on a lot of teams. You could say, what if he went to the Miami Dolphins? Well, chances are Jarvis Landry's gone, and now he's the new Jarvis Landry in that role, or something along those lines. You could put him into any offense.
That's my point. In any offense, is he still a first round pick in fantasy football?
I would say yes.
The only one I would say no to would probably be Jacksonville Jaguars.
I thought you were gonna say the Bears would be a cunt.
Well, the Bears,
and that just proves my point.
Yeah, the Bears would
fucking
be one,
Blake
yeah.
Bortles isn't a real quarterback. Proving my point. He doesn't even want to prove my point. You did.
No.
If you say that.
The Chicago Bears as well, because they fucking blew
as well.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, here we go. All
right, we're moving on from Tony Brown. Is that what you call him, Tony?
Yeah.
All right, with the 6 overall selection.
Tony Brown.
I'm going with Mr. DeAndre Hopkins from the Houston Texans, wide receiver. 12 games out of the 15 games that he played last season, DeAndre Hopkins scored over 15 points. Four of the games, he had over 25 points. That's what you're looking for from your wide receiver number one. He was an absolute stud last season, and we've only seen the beginning of what he really can become with Mr. Deshaun Watson. That's probably the only real quarterback he has ever played with. You know, he's been stuck playing with Brock Osweiler, Tom Savage, TJ Yates, Brian Hoyer. It hasn't been a beautiful thing. Yet this man has put up two top four seasons in the last 3 years. It's definitely impressive. And you got to think, for me, I love receivers that are matchup proof. Last year, the number one pass defense in the NFL was the Jacksonville Jaguars. DeAndre Hopkins scored 18 points against them and 18.5 points against them. That's what you're looking for your stud wide receiver one. Give me DeAndre Hopkins at number six all day long.
Tom, I wanted to hate this pick. I'll be honest with you. I wanted to hate this pick. There are other guys. When you have Odell Beckham Jr.'s and Julio Jones of the world on here, this is a highly debatable pick, feel like. And when I first saw it, I'm like, man, these guys bash me all the time. Tom's on here making fucking dumbass picks like this. And then I thought about it. And I'm like, you know, with Watson coming back, with Hopkins will be 26 at the start of 2018 season. If Lamar Miller can get going, I don't hate it. My only concern is how they balance it all. And obviously, you're going to see, because the Texans are kind of in flux right now as well. They're going to see different coaches move on. That defense aged quickly. That J.J. Watt era Texans defense, they got like 2 years out of it, and then steroids for some players and injuries for others caught up to them. So what type of team are they gonna be able to be? To your point, DeAndre Hopkins is just one of those perennial stud wide receivers. Can him and Watson go into the 2018 season and take over? That'll be a big question. In my eyes, six is still too high for me. I would have to take the Odell Beckham Jr.'s or Julio Jones of the world before him, respectively. But the pick is not as crazy as I initially thought.
You'd really take Julio over DeAndre Hopkins?
I would, absolutely.
I think you're freaking nuts.
Tom, I agree with you on this pick. I actually even entertained the idea of picking DeAndre Hopkins over one Tony Brown. And I decided against it. But I like the fact that pretty much he is the only wide receiver on that team besides the great Will Fuller to throw the ball to. He commands a lot of targets.
You see Will Fuller's stats last year when he played?
Yeah, he's very good stats.
Yeah, go ahead and but talk smugly again.
But the thing is, he just needs to stay healthy.
You see you next
all.
Tuesday.
So my thing is, if you are a target hog, then you should be definitely considered on one of the top guys in a PPR draft, because what targets eventually lead to are receptions and yardage, and he is a monster around the end zone. Did he only have one game of 3+ touchdowns, or was it two of them?
I'm not sure.
I think it was. No, he only had one of 3+ games, but still, he had another game of 2 touchdowns and a lot of other touchdowns sprinkled in there as well. But he has a monstrous amount of targets thrown his way.
The only thing that could stop DeAndre Hopkins is Brock Osweiler. It's the only thing. You look, the last 4 years, that was the only time he has really struggled. It's because Brock sucks.
You have to remember where the Texans are at. They have no picks because they gave it all away to get Watson, right? They have no money right now. They're going to have to make cuts. They have, like I have the aforementioned, aging and injured defense. They have the only way that this team contends next year, in my opinion, is if that defense somehow gets rejuvenated and finds it. And hey, guess what? That's with losing your defensive coordinator that's a stud, Mike Vrabel. There's a lot there. There's just a lot there to put on a young quarterback coming off of ACL surgery. I'm not – DeAndre Hopkins, in my opinion, has had bad luck, in all honesty. He's had bad luck. The guy's been nothing but a stud. He's been a beast. You saw the numbers that you mentioned, the Brock Osweiler situation. It's just bad. I would love to see Hopkins on a different team. This position, too high for me.
You're nuts.
Okay. I'm up next.
Yeah?
And first time that I, at number seven, I looked at the board and I said, huh, well, what the hell am I going to do here? Very interesting. Obviously, you have the aforementioned Beckham and Julio on the board. But you also still have a couple of running backs in Kareem Hunt. And the one that I went with at number seven, Alvin Kamara, running back, New Orleans Saints. It was tough for me. I called myself dumb, fought myself, beat myself up. Don't make the pick, don't make the pick. But once this guy was implemented full go into the offense, he was a beast. I know that the sophomore slump can be a thing, whatever. There's another running back there. He took over this offense. He made them better. He did things in the for a rookie that have never has never been seen before. His receptions, his rushing, he is the complete package, and having someone like Mark Ingram there as a balance so you don't get run into the ground like a Le'Veon Bell. He not saying he is, but he could be like a Le'Veon Bell talent, and we'll never know because he's got Mark Ingram there to make sure that he gets his rest and says, this is the perfect situation. This reminds me of, and we talked about it a lot last year, but this situation reminds me a lot of Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams for the Carolina Panthers in their prime. But D'Angelo Williams, in this case, is a stud who could potentially be Le'Veon Bell. He is absolutely unbelievable. We all talked him up. Josh hated Alvin Kamara going into the draft, but said if he ends up in the right situation, I love it. When he got drafted by the Saints, Josh said, I love it. It's perfect. And once they finally put him in there, it just worked out. Can't see how you can deny him being a first-round pick this year.
It's funny how, and it's a very good thing that you said that, Tim, but it's funny how one person's emotions and feelings towards one person can change in a blink of an eye, because I did. I sat there and I said, I hate Alvin Kamara so much. But again, if he falls in the right system, which this is the correct system, it makes a lot of sense. He caught 81 passes this year. One more pass than one Christian McCaffrey, who only caught 80. Only. Which is funny to say for two rookie running backs catching a shit ton of passes out of the backfield.
Tom mocked you and I when we said McCaffrey would catch that many balls.
Yeah. No, it didn't.
No.
I said he'd have over like...
He said he would have over 75.
Oh, maybe it was Josh mocked us then.
But the funny thing is, he had only 100 targets in the passing game. Caught 81 of those. That is very, very, very impressive. But where he did most of his damage is on the ground. 728 yards, ripping off long runs, and scoring those 8 touchdowns.
What I want to say about Alvin Kamara, real quick, before I let Tom go, is... He is the biggest it's the first time ever, and obviously last year was the first year that we really broke down tape and broke down prospects or whatever. Looking at Alvin Kamara's college tape to his rookie season, I don't know who their strength and conditioning coach is. He looks like a fucking monster. He looked like he put on 25 pounds of just pure muscle and lost no speed whatsoever. He put on, it was because he's going to play that Darren Sproles role, but then he put on all that muscle and became a real running back. Whoever the Saints strength and conditioning coach is, bravo, sir. You did a hell of a job.
Yeah, with Kamara, you have to love, look what he did on the limited touches he had. He only touched the football 201 times. That's not a lot. And he finished his PPR running back 3. That is tremendous. 6.1 yards per rushing attempt. This dude was fresh all year. Never really got banged up. And getting limited touches like this, this role is going to continue. He's got a Hall of Fame quarterback. Drew Brees throwing him the football. Sean Payton understands how to use him the right way. And as long as they keep using him like this and don't try to make him a bell cow, he's going to be worth a first-round pick in fantasy football.
They went out there and just proved everyone wrong. You remember, you know, through the first 3 games of the season, he had 15 carries. Or I'm sorry, through the first 4 games of the season, he had 15 carries because the Saints thought Adrian Peterson was going to be a part of their team. Remember that as well. Yep. People forget that very easily, that AP was supposed to be the second back behind, you know, one Mark Ingram. And no, once they did that, 10, 9, 8, 10, 12, 8, he's the guy.
Yep. Anything else on him?
That's all I got. All
right. Next up, I have running back Kareem Hunt.
Ooh.
Yeah, locking up another rookie here. And you gotta have the feeling, right? They're going to be moving on from one Alex Smith.
Maybe.
Not a guarantee. But if they do move away, and maybe this is me taking a too big of a leap right now, but I'm banking on the fact that they will move on from Alex Smith. And if they do, you're going to have a theoretically rookie quarterback coming into play. And we've talked about this over and over again. What's the best thing to do? Hand the ball off and dump passes to the swings for the running back. And Kareem Hunt has proven to be a very good running back this year. A lot of people still had Spencer Ware tagged as the number one running back for Kansas City Chiefs. He went down way before that he should have, and then now it's the Kareem Hunt show. And I think it's going to continue on from there. You just got to feed him the ball. Don't steer away from it and keep handing the ball off.
So I don't know if he had an issue with just play calling, you know, before Nagy came back in. That seemed to be the bigger issue to me. So the first 5 weeks, I mean, he was an absolute, just a killer. You're talking, you know, over 100 yards in four of those five games and 80 in that fifth, which was against the Philadelphia Eagles defense, where he scored two touchdowns. So remember that. I mean, the guy had played well. He went through that stretch there mid-season where he went, was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? So it was about 7 weeks before he went, got back on track. Once Nagy kind of took over there, and he was getting, you know, look at it this way. He went from 18, 11, 9 carries. Nagy took over, 25, 24, 29, where he should be. After that, I don't know if he got hurt or whatever, that week 16 against the Broncos, only had one. Assuming there was some type of issue there.
They pretty much had it all locked up.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was pretty much game over from there. But that's where, you know, when you utilize him to his full potential, over 1,300 yards rushing, 8 touchdowns, you mentioned the 53 yards receiving. Josh, I don't hate it. My biggest question is, who's going to be calling plays for the Kansas City Chiefs? That's what everyone has to look towards. That's what you have to find out. Who's going to be the other back there? Who's going to be the other quarterback there? Listen, in football in general, these are things you have to pay attention to. If Kareem Hunt had the year that he had and then Sean Payton wasn't there anymore, calling the plays while Drew Brees was the one, you know, throwing the football around, Kareem Hunt wouldn't be that high. You have to compare those things relatively, even if it's not, you know, one of the best quarterbacks ever.
As much shit as everyone talks about Andy Reid, he really knows how to produce relevant fantasy running backs. You got to look Brian Westbrook way back in the day, LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles, and now it's Kareem Hunt. He's going to get over 50 receptions a year like he did in his rookie year. I think he's only going to improve as a receiver out of the backfield. And, yeah, he has to keep to the path and feed him the football. There was, in the middle of the year, he was struggling. I was telling people to trade him because Andy Reid was not running him the football. But Tim's new head coach, Matt Nagy, he got him the football. He fed him the football, and we saw him flourish at the end of the season right when people needed him. But as long as they continue to feed this guy the football, he's going to be worth the first-round pick. Lock that in.
I believe I am up again. Let's see. Josh,
Tom's up.
Tom's up. I'm sorry. You guys paused for too long.
All right, let's see. With the 9th overall pick, can't believe this guy's still on the board, especially with Tim drafting so much already. I'm going to go with Mr. Odell Beckham Jr., wide receiver from the New York Giants. There's been no other wide receiver who has been more prolific through their first 3 years in the NFL than OBJ. Last season, a complete disaster for everyone on that football team, everyone in that organization. OBJ missed tons of time, and he busted out last year for the first time in his career. But I have confidence that he's going to get back to his 90-catch-a-year performance, 12 to 1,300 yards and double-digit touchdowns like he did his first 3 years in the NFL. Plus, you got to look at Pat Shurmur, the new head coach, the guy that just lit a fire under Case Keenum's ass. He made Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs relevant in fantasy football. And a lot of that was the scheme, in my eyes. Adam Adam Thielen was an undrafted free agent, and he was a top 12 wide receiver in fantasy football last year. Just imagine what a talent like OBJ can do in this system. Lock him in for the first round pick,
Listen, OBJ is crazy. I love him. He's fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I've had him ever since I took him his rookie season, traded for him. I've kept him. I love him, but he's crazy. You never know what's going to happen. He's kind of like the Tracy Morgan of the NFL. He's nuts. Last year, Ben McAdoo proved that he was a cancer to the NFL. I don't know why he's on any NFL team ever again. And you hear a rumor he was, I believe, getting interviewed for the Browns OC job this past week. I hope he doesn't get it. That's one guy. Just seems like a pure dirtbag. Ruined a bunch of players on the Giants and Eli Manning. I'm not even a Giants fan, but I felt he did the whole Giants organization dirty, and that freaking goofy-looking mustache son of a bitch should never coach again. I digress. Odell Beckham Jr., Tom hit the nail on the head. He's a stud. He's one of those top guys. Now is the time. Which way is he going to go? Is he going to go down that Antonio Brown path and become one of the best to ever do it, like when he was healthy, showed he could do during his first 3 to 4 seasons? Or is he going to kind of turn the other way and be average, hot, cold, hot, cold? Now's the time, Odell. Coming off of injury, who are you going to be? Are you going to go back to that same attitude, you know, poor me, head case bullshit? If so, once Eli leaves, then your career is going to be short-lived, young man.
Yeah, I think that's the big key right there. If Eli is going to be the number one quarterback on that team and really focuses on Eli as a quarterback and not worried about progressing some of the younger talent, like the what's that other kid's name that they drafted? Davis Webb, right? Yeah. Or maybe they draft another quarterback in Josh Rosen.
You don't want to see how Geno Smith has progressed after 9 years?
No, not quite.
Said Eli?
But the thing is, you got to have Eli there, and you got to have – that way you can have that continuity with one OBJ. And he's going to have a lot to prove when he does come back from his injury.
What he has to prove, what's the kind of the hidden gem in all this is – As long as Eli is back, the addition and now being able to play without OBJ there of Evan Ingram and what he brought to that team, which Josh foresaw before anybody else, is going to be huge. Having those two, that's going to take pressure off of Odell Beckham Jr. If they're able to bring in a Saquon Barkley or whoever else in the running game. There's going to be so many free agents who are top running back talent that they could pay a little bit just to play. The Giants are going to have an opportunity to compete for this division next year. I'm calling it right now.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree.
That defense is going to rebound mightily. As long as they draft well, they're going to get a franchise quarterback. They're going to get Rosen, in my opinion. It's going to be a good 2018 season for the Giants. I am up now. Thank you very much.
Finally.
At number 10, I can't believe this guy's still on the board. Julio Jones. Struggled in 2017 mightily. But your biggest concern, Tom, going into the 2017 season, and I poo-pooed it. I said, no, Tom, it's not going to be a big deal. Matt Ryan's a good enough quarterback to overcome one Steve Sarkisian, however the hell you say his name. But he wasn't. Sarkisian kind of got in everyone's head, but he single-handedly limited not only Julio Jones, but Devonta Freeman, Tevin Coleman, Mohamed Sanu, Tyler Gabriel was essentially non-existent this year at times. He single-handedly did it. He's going to be gone. He's going to go somewhere else once the Super Bowl is over. I know he was a big fan of – he was with Gruden at one point, I believe, and I believe whoever's going to go to Arizona, I'm blanking on the name right now, he had ties there as well. So Sarkisian is going to be gone, and he's going to be gone.
Slap bet?
No, I'm not going to slap bet it. NFL's crazy, man.
Pretty sure they just re-signed him to an extension.
Well, are you pretty sure, or are you telling me something?
Well, I'd slap bet you that he's with them next year.
Oh, that doesn't help me. But I'm hoping he's gone. If he's not gone, I don't know. I still can't see passing over. I can't see a talent like Julio Jones not being a first-round pick. Would I be happy about it? No. But if I pass him up and he has 1,000-plus yard season and 10 touchdowns, will I kill myself? Probably.
I don't know. I'm just... I understand where the love for Julio comes from, but at the same time, I'm just... I'm not there. I would rather much have the guy that I'm going to pick at pick number 11 at that spot. But, yeah, that's all I have to say about that. I'm sorry. I'm hating on it.
Look, I totally get the love for Julio. He's might be the most physically gifted wide receiver in the NFL. Dude's a complete freak. But when's the last time he scored over 10? Or he's only scored 10 touchdowns once in his career. Never over 10. But that was 6 years ago. He's single digits pretty every year of his career besides his sophomore season in the NFL. Seems like every year he just has one big-time game that kind of inflates his stats a little bit. This year, it was against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 12 receptions, 253 yards, 22 points. Over 50 points in one game for him. And then you see a lot of games where single digits or low teens for him. And that's not what you want for a first-round pick. For me, if I'm drafting a receiver in the first round, I want consistency with touchdowns. And that's not what Julio Jones gives you. He only scored a touchdown in two games this year. It's not acceptable for a first-round pick in my eyes.
I just don't, with a talent like this, any of the other picks at this point, when you go to risk-reward and you go to pure talent, I feel like Julio Jones is above the rest.
Pick number 11. I am up. I'm going to go with one, Michael Thomas from the Saints. And I got some good reasons why, Tim, on why I think Michael Thomas should be considered above Julio Jones. And if you look at Michael Thomas's numbers last year, he was ranked number 9 overall in PPR. He had 92 catches, 1,137 yards receiving, 9 touchdowns, 122 passes thrown to him. So he caught 92. That was in 2016. 2017, he actually ranked number 6th overall for wide receivers in PPR. 104 catches, which I believe is ranked number 3 for wide receivers. 1,245, which he improved on his 2016 number. 5 touchdowns, which is a downgrade, but he had 149 targets thrown his way. Now, the reason why I think he should be slightly higher than Julio Jones is because in 2017, we had the emergence of one Alvin Kamara in that Saints backfield, as you have stated earlier. But also, we had Drew Brees not being Drew Brees. This year, do you know where his numbers stand compared to previous years? He had 23 passing touchdowns this year. Do you know where that stands in the total amount of years in being a Saint?
It's what like is
that?
Third to last?
It is the last. The last number. 23 is the worst amount of touchdown passes he threw his Ram. No, I'm not. His numbers are going to bounce back because this was the worst year that Drew Brees has had. It is going to be a huge bounce back year. He's going to re-sign his contract. Oh. And Josh, going to be monstrous for Michael Thomas.
Wait. So you're telling me the Saints figure it out. They put together a great defense. They find finally a perfect balance so Drew Brees doesn't have to carry it all on his 40-year-old shoulder. And now they're going to say, hey, you know what? Never mind. You didn't throw enough last year. Let's put more miles on that old-ass arm here.
No, again, you forget the fact that they did a lot of they made a lot of passes to running backs. Again, they had 3 running backs that I believe were all targeted at least more than 30 times throughout previous years. This year, they had 2 running backs. I think they're also going to be adding a wide receiver in the draft in the second or third round as well. That should open things up for Michael Thomas. Although there is a lot of stuff going on in the Senior Bowl practices right now, Sean Payton loves Baker Mayfield. and they're talking about Baker Mayfield over and over again. And if you guys remember from a couple years ago, he was completely in love with one Bryce Petty, and they drafted, who did they draft that year? Garrett Grayson, right?
Yeah.
That year. And I think Petty was a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Jets.
And I think they took Grayson in the third that year, if I remember.
Michael Thomas has the best Twitter handle in the world. Can't guard Mike. You know, it's very accurate. Not many people can guard him. He's phenomenal this year. And that was a reason. Yeah, I don't think he has the upside of Julio Jones. Nowhere near the athlete. Julio Jones, he would kill him at jumping.
Kill him.
At anything athletically. But Michael Thomas gets open.
Kill him.
He's got a Hall of Fame quarterback, Drew Brees. And I agree with Josh. I don't think his numbers will be that low next year. I could see his touchdowns going up 5 to 10. And I could see Michael Thomas catching 3 to 5 of them, in all honesty. That's what he does best. In the playoffs, they were relying on Michael Thomas, and that dude was getting open. Even against Xavier Rhodes, he was making Xavier Rhodes look like an average cornerback out there.
Scored 2 touchdowns.
Yep. Michael Thomas is one of the best fantasy wide receivers in football, and I would take him over Julio Jones next year.
Drew Brees last year, that was the least amount of passing yards he had as well, which is pretty shocking.
I'm just shocked that you think as he gets older and they find balance that those are going to come back to where he was prior when they had...
Well, if you look at most of his numbers, they've been pretty consistent. 258.
They had no consistent running game.
658, 657, 670, 650, 659, 627, 673, 563.
Josh, let's call a spade a spade here, right? Going into this season, the 2017 season, the question was... Can you trust Mark Ingram? That was the question, right? He's had one great season. Can you trust him and draft him as your number one running back? That was the question there. And who benefited from not knowing if the Saints had a number one running back? Their Hall of Fame quarterback, Drew Brees. At the end of the day, Drew Brees has thrown that much because he's had no other choice. They've had nothing else there to make him not throw that much. Now that they do... You're not going to convince me that his numbers are going to go back to the way they were before. I'm sorry. I love you. I love Michael Thomas for that.
So you think Drew Brees is going to throw for less than 23 touchdowns next year?
I think, no, not necessarily 23, but he'll be around the 25 range for sure. Plus or minus 2 for sure.
Could easily see him at 30 though.
Well,
I could.
Yeah, I mean, he's still Drew Brees. If he has a 5-6 touchdown game, sure. But with the balance that they have found, that's the other part of this. Their defense is so good now, they don't have to constantly be chasing and chasing like they have been in the past. They're not you talk about the NFC South the last 3 years has been shootouts, left and right, left and right. It's not that way anymore. I love Michael Thomas. Great second round pick.
Ah! I feel the same about Julio.
Oh, my Lord.
All right.
Moving on.
I have the number 12 pick. I don't know if you guys are going to be happy with this.
Here we go.
I am taking Saquon Barkley, Penn State University running back. He doesn't have a team right now because the NFL draft hasn't occurred. But we look at the past 3 years, and we've seen rookie running backs come out, and day one, they step on the field, and they are RB1s in fantasy football. And I think that's what Saquon Barkley is going to do. Right now, I think he can do it all. He's a total package, and he's probably the best running back to come out of college since possibly Adrian Peterson. People are worried about his pass blocking. He struggled his sophomore year, but he did wonders. He's improved. He's going to be a three-down bell cow running back for whatever team he lands on. I think he's almost scheme-proof. And we were talking about Alvin Kamara earlier with his ability to catch the football. Saquon Barkley can do the same exact things that Alvin Kamara could do, but he is 20 pounds heavier. And he's going to run in the 4.3, so he's extremely faster than that doesn't make sense. But
I love it.
Alvin Kamara.
I wasn't mocking you.
But
I love it.
Saquon Barkley is a total package, and I will take him in the first round of fantasy football drafts next year.
So to your point, listen, the back-to-back years, rookies leading the NFL in rushing, Ezekiel Elliott 2 years ago, Kareem Hunt this past year. It's just hard for me to buy into it. I know it shouldn't be. It's going to be where he ends up. I still say the best place for him to end up is Cleveland with that offensive line up front. I think that he could do damage there. And the Colts, it's a different story. The offensive line sucks, but you have a great quarterback and Andrew Luck. I know, I'm just going over all the top picks. It's going to be a matter of where he ends up. That's the end of. I want to take him. If he's on the Browns, then I agree with that. At number 12, sure. I'm thinking, L, go for the goal, and you have that swing pick anyway. So you can go with Saquon Barkley and then a whoever the hell you want. Melvin Gordon. Saquon and Melvin Gordon, boom, sign me up.
That's what I would
love. So don't love it, don't hate it. Just kind of like, all right, to your point, let's see where he ends up.
What if the Giants just said, screw it. We're going to roll with Eli and they take Saquon Barkley. How do you feel?
I love it.
Hey, look, dude. Their offensive line is fucking dog shit.
They aren't great, but
no, they're awful.
Yeah.
Behind the Seattle Seahawks, worst offensive line in football.
A lot of people were saying the Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line was terrible. The highest.
They addressed it.
They drafted a guy in the second round this year. They have two guys who undrafted free agents, two guys starting that were drafted in the fifth and sixth round. No one was saying that offensive line was elite this year by any means before the season. We saw Duke Johnson finish as a running back one in PPR last year, and you guys are freaking trying to tell me that you wouldn't take Saquon Barkley in the first round. It's absolutely nuts. He's more talented than Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Fournette, Todd Gurley, and all those guys have finished as running back ones. Look, Todd Gurley finished as a running back one his rookie year on the Rams, who were absolutely horrendous that year. Zeke Elliott did the same thing. Saquon Barkley is a more well-rounded player who I think his floor for receptions will be 50 this year. I think he's going to come close to over he'll probably be 60 to 80 range. I think he's got that in his tool belt there.
Better rookie season, Zeke or Saquon?
PPR?
Yeah.
Saquon.
Woo-hoo!
Zeke only had 25 to 30 receptions his rookie year. I think Saquon could double that.
Interesting.
No comment?
No.
Tom, I like Saquon. I love the pick, and so do I. I've called for the Browns to take him with the first overall pick.
I'd love it.
So that's, I mean, if the Browns take him, I love the choice. If not, it's all going to depend where he goes.
People act like Fournette had a great rookie year last year. He didn't.
He was
running back nine. So that's for me.
He was running back nine with missing game due to injury, with missing games due to being suspended for being a dumbass. I mean, he had a great for a rookie to be the number nine overall running back. It's a pretty great year.
There was three rookie running backs in the top 12 last year.
Right. I mean, it still doesn't defeat the point that he was the top 10 running back. Yeah. My rookie season, I don't play every game, and I'm a top 10 running back. I'm fucking shitting gold coins for the next 2 weeks.
There's actually four in the top 12.
Who?
Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah. Four. So, people saying you shouldn't be drafting Saquon Barkley in the first round.
Could have easily been five with Dalvin Cook if he would have stayed healthy.
Or if the Bengals stopped giving Jeremy Hill so many damn touches.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how the first round drafting of running backs goes this year.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It might be the deepest the position's been in a long time, especially with
for sure.
The 4 to 8 running backs coming in this year's draft who can possibly be starters.
Yeah. I agree with that. Anything else?
Make sure to go on Facebook, visit Pony Keg Sports, go on our page, like Pony Keg Sports, the page, go to the post pinned to the very top of our page. It is a picture of a signed Le'Veon Bell jersey with a description in there. All you have to do is share that post and like the page. Share the post, like the page. Nothing else. Don't like the post, like the page. Don't like the post, like the page. It is simple. If you do it wrong, you are not entered to win. And I will say, ha 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 ha. You did not win this jersey, sir. That is all.
It's a real jersey, too.
We have the certificate of authenticity. Josh signed it himself.
Alrighty, that's all we have. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Again, that is our first mock draft for the 2018 fantasy football season. And until next time,
peace!